we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Are you tired of peel, peel, peeling potatoes? Stop! Introducing Handy Peel, the quick and easy way to prepare a meal. Pick a raw potato, hold under the water, then just rub, peel, and scrub all at the same time for a pile of perfectly peeled potatoes. It's that easy. The secret is the Handy Peel's molded rubbing nubs that grip and cleanly peel the skin. This is a limited offer. Order now.
To order Handy Peel for just $10, have your credit card...
Would you look at that? That's amazing. They finally came up with a solution to life's biggest problem. How can I peel 1,000 potatoes at once? That's pretty good, but it's not the best. I can think of something that can wipe the slate clean. We're talking the best thing ever. Forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, we can find forgiveness. All our sins can be washed away. All you have to do is turn away from them. Start in a new direction. Turn back towards God, and He will give you a new life. Forgiveness. It's incredible. It's the best thing ever.
All right, I hope you have your credit cards ready. Our callers are standing by, ready for your phone calls there. Welcome back to Redemption Church, everybody. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm the lead pastor here at Redemption Church, and I want to thank you for being with us today. We're so glad that you're here with us today. If you're here in the room listening to this sermon, or if you're perhaps watching online, we welcome you today. We want to have fellowship with you. We love to hear from you, internet folks, so keep those comments coming. I want you to listen up today, wherever you are, because I've got a message for you today. It's a message of hope for you. We're in the second week of our Best Thing Ever series. Last Sunday, we celebrated what?
Easter.
Easter, we celebrated the resurrection as the best thing ever. Y'all still believe that Jesus rising from the dead is the best thing ever? Absolutely. I want to remind you that mankind is always on a quest for better. We're always looking for better. You probably spent time this week thinking about how to improve your life. You might have spent some time on the Pinterest. The Pinterest is a terrible thing in our home because the wife looks at the Pinterest and she gets the chores for the husband. Let's try this, right? Anyone else? Can I get a witness in the house? All right. But maybe you spent some time on the Pinterest this week looking around and you thought, oh, that's a new healthy idea. I should try that. That's a new cool home decor idea. What a nice little life hack. What are you doing? You're looking for ways to improve your life. You might have caught a YouTube tutorial or maybe a TED Talk or maybe you're an old fogey and actually you got out a book and read it, right? No Wi-Fi needed. But you did that all to learn something new, to learn how to be faster at something, to get a new outlook on life. You did it to improve your life. Whatever it is, I would say it's safe to say that you've been trying to make your life better. Is that true? That's right. All right, good. Jesus promises to make your life better. But Jesus wants to do more than just marginally improve your life. He wants to do more than just give you marginally better life ideas. Jesus, He wants to give you best. Not just better, best. And if we really came to grips with that, we'd always trust Him. If we really understood that, we'd never fail to open up our Bible or pray to Him. If we understood that God really wants best for us, we wouldn't argue with Him quite so much. There is a problem here. Often, we're happy with just better marginal improvements than best. We're just happy enough with where we are. If we could just improve this, maybe we aren't so excited about best. Perhaps you've heard the phrase, good is the enemy of great. The good things in life can be the enemies of great things. I've known plenty of people that they had good talents, and so they just relied on their talents and never became great, right? That's a real dangerous thing. Many are content with good and never press further to achieve great. If you are ever to have God's best for you, there has to be a little bit of unsatisfaction about your life. If you are ever going to achieve what God has that's best for you, you've got to be unsatisfied with the good you already have. So I just have this question for you. Are you satisfied with less than best? You know, I've just got to tell you, in life, this isn't usually the case, but somehow with God, sometimes this becomes the case, right? Like you are always never satisfied with your cell phone because a new one comes out and you're always like, well, I've got this one and it's the iPhone 27, but you know, the iPhone 27.5 just can't, of all the audacity, Apple, you actually put out 0.5 editions of your phone. They put S on it. S is basically a 5.5. Don't be a sucker. Don't fall for their tricks. All right. But you're always looking for, you never are satisfied with less than the best for your phone. You're always like, well, I know that's a little more, but you know what? It's so much worth it. It's so much awesome to have a faster little processing power. We're never satisfied with less than the best, but somehow with God, sometimes we are. Sometimes we've had enough of His presence. Sometimes we've had enough of the Word of God. Sometimes we've prayed enough. Sometimes, well, you know, I've done enough for Him. I think we're good. Are we satisfied with less than best when it comes to God? I can't speak for you, but for me, that's a very convicting idea. Our lives are sidetracked by choosing something less than God's best. We choose good instead of great, choosing good instead of best. Let's choose best today. Just make up in your mind, I want God's best today. Today, I want to tell you that forgiveness is the best thing ever. It's the best thing ever. Moms and dads, you want to provide the best for your family? Forgiveness is one of those things. Forgiveness is the absolute best thing. You got to have that working inside of your home and inside of your own heart. God offers forgiveness. Say amen if you know it. He offers forgiveness. And I can tell you personally, it's the best thing. It's the best thing ever. Before we jump into forgiveness, we need to understand what we are forgiven from. Somebody help me. What are we forgiven from?
Sin,
right? Uh-oh, somebody's already like, oh no. What did I just walk into? Did I just walk into a sin sermon? Don't worry, I don't have like a laundry list of thou shalt nots today. I want to talk to you about the subject of sin. Because this subject, understanding this subject, helps you understand why forgiveness is the best thing ever. The Bible says that we have all sinned. Psalm 51 and 5 says, surely I was sinful at birth. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Everyone has sinned. Sin is one of those heavy words, right? You want to change the room, you just say the word sin or the word tithe. It just changes the whole thing. Where did everyone go? They all left, internet. They just left. They heard those two words in the same sentence. But this is one of those heavy words. And there's always like a guilt. There's always a shame when we think about sin. Although we have that heavy feeling, we don't really understand sin. Like if I asked you to define sin today, maybe you have some problems defining it. Maybe you have like, instead of really defining it, you have a list of, well, don't do those things because that's sin. That's not a definition. That is not. Many people think that God is a control freak. You ever been there? You ever think that of God? God's just a control freak. This whole sin thing is that He wants to just like control us. That's what it's all about. He wants to have a bunch of rules for us to obey, and we should obey Him because He's God, and you know, He says He's God, and He proves that He's God, so you know, we have to obey. And if we don't obey His rules, then it gets really serious. Then it is sin. So right there, for most people, sin is a control mechanism. Sin is breaking God's rule. And so like that's their idea of sin. I want to tell you today, that's not a complete idea of sin. I want to help you today understand. Because, you see, if that's your idea of sin, then it gets kind of crazy. Then it goes completely bonkers. because someone inexplicably just opens their Bible seemingly at random, just like right there. And they take a scripture, and who cares about context? Let's just throw out this scripture right here. Here's a scripture, and maybe something like this. Deuteronomy 22, verse 11, verse 12. Do not wear clothes of wool and linen woven together. In other words, don't mix your fabrics. All right, so number one, who is wearing cotton and nylon maybe somewhere in there? I have no idea, but I probably am. And so someone brings up this scripture. Let's in for a penny, in for an ounce or pound of punishment, whatever. Verse 12, what's verse 12 say? Make tassels on the four corners of your cloak you wear. So whatever you're wearing, like a coat or something or anything, a shawl or anything, do you have tassels attached to it? So right here, we understand that sin is not breaking the, is not following the rules. So now let's just randomly bring out a scripture and just point it out, and now we can call everyone everywhere a sinner. Sadly, some people in the church really like that. No. And then some people are really scared about that. If you're scared about that, please calm down. Everything's okay. Trust me, I'm a professional. Everything's going to work out. All right. So without looking into the context of this book, of the Bible. We got a book of the Bible right here, Deuteronomy, without looking into the context, without looking into the context of the chapter. Each book has a context to it. Each chapter has a context to it. Some of the context is who is it written to, or under what covenant were they under as it was written to them. And then also the rest of the scripture without throwing, they just like throw all of those out and just, here, toss out this like hand grenade. What are you going to do with this? Bam. There's sin. Without doing any of that, many will come to the conclusion that God's rules are just silly. And that God's rules are just controlling. And he just wants to see how high you jump and how quickly you do it. And so he comes up with, and looking at this, you're like, what does God even care about the tassels on clothes? What is God? And so if you just looked at this without any look into the context. If you just looked at this on face value, you might just turn around, walk away from God forever going, that's a bunch of bunk silliness. All right? And you add the definition of sin being a rule break, then you've got some serious issues here. Sadly, don't you know that many people have left God over something like this? So that's why we're talking about it today. So let's get something straight about sin and God's rules, God's commands. This is going to help you out a lot. Number one, the word sin. Let's look into the word sin. Here is the word sin used in Romans 3:23. We read it earlier. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The word for sin here is the Greek word hamartia. You didn't know you were going to learn Greek today, but you did. Everyone said hamartia. Hamartia. Hamartia means to miss the mark. God wants to give you the best, right? We've talked about that. God wants to give you the best, but if we miss the mark of the best, if we fall short of the best that he would have for us, then he calls that hamartia. He calls that sin, all right? Listen up. Sin does not mean, this is maybe how you've heard it used, but this is not how God uses it. Sin does not mean you filthy, no good sinner. You filthy, no good loser. You filthy, no good whatever. How could you do that? How could you think that? How could you say that? You are a sinner. That is not how it's used here at all. Sin is hamartia. It means to miss the mark. Sin doesn't mean that you're a filthy, no good. Sin means this. Child, I have better for you. Sin is, child, I would have you do this, and it's best for you. Instead, you're doing this. And if you, and here's the other part of it. And child, if you'll let me, I'll show you how to do better. If you'll let me, I'll protect you from worst. So right here, change the way you think about sin. Sin simply means that God has best for you that you haven't received yet. Okay? Is that good? Is that good? You like that? All right. Number two, God's rule. So we've got sin, now we've got God's rule. So God doesn't create rules to control you. I mean, what's the point? He's God. If he wanted to control us, he could make us robots, right? He doesn't create laws and commands to tell you what to do to put you in your place. Hey, I just want you to remember, you aren't God, so tassels, wear them. No, that's not what it's about. When you think of God's rules, this is how I think you should think about it. You should think about a parent telling their child not to touch the stove. Anybody relate to this issue right here? We have a stove in our house, and the kids, it's like they're magnets to it. They put their tongue on the thing. I'm really sorry. It's just like, what are you doing? Why do we tell the child not to touch the tongue? Anyone, anyone? Not to touch the stove, not the tongue. Because they're gonna get hurt. Honey, one day this stove is gonna be on. Even if it's not on right now, one of these days, mommy's gonna be using the stove. It's mommy using the stove, because it would be a disaster if I were. But one of these days, this stove is gonna be hot. And if you come up and touch this stove, it will hurt you. So mommy and daddy have made a rule right now. Don't touch the things that would hurt you. When you think about God's commands, when you think about God's laws, don't think about control freak. Are we trying to control our children? No, quite frankly, we've given up on that. They're completely out of control. Amen. You can laugh. All right. No, we are trying to protect them. So when God comes up with commands, when God comes up with rules, when he says, thou shalt not, in the Bible, it's like, don't do that. And you see things like, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. What are these things? These are things that will hurt you. And so God commands you not to control you, but to keep you from worse, to keep you from pain, to keep you from heartache. God's rules are an attempt to keep you from hurting yourself, just like your rules are to keep your five-year-old boy from breaking his neck while playing in the backyard. I want to tell you that God's rules are made out of love. Everything God does is made out of love. I don't have time to talk about that right now. Everything, all of his rules are made out of a desire to give you what is better, to give you what is best. Does anybody believe that God knows what is best? Do you believe that? Do you believe that, man? When you come to that realization and you can just have the faith in that, it makes life so much better. It makes life so much easier. God, you just tell me what to do. God, tell me what to do. Tell me how to think. Tell me what to do. God, I believe that you know best. So, sin. Sin is serious. God's commands, they're serious. It's a big situation. Sin keeps you from God's best. Are you with me? You following me? Because sin misses the mark. It misses the mark of what? It misses the mark of God's best for you. Sin also puts us in harm's way. Sin will cause us pain. Of course, there's also this about sin, right? Some of y'all already know where I'm going, right? Romans chapter 6, 23. You want to talk about how serious sin is? For the wages of sin is, what's that word up there? I can't make that out. Death. I was afraid it said that. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I tell you that sin will drag you so below the best that God has for you. It will drag you all the way into a grave. Sin will drag you all the way down into death. One of the scary pictures I ever had, there was some like random movie on that I wasn't supposed to see. I walked through the house and my parents were watching some kind of scary movie, and all I remember, I don't know what movie this is, Jeremy, but all I remember that there was a skeleton hand and it popped up out of the ground and it started pulling the person down, and I was like, that can happen? Oh no! That would be the worst thing, something dragging you down into a grave, something dragging you down towards death. That would be the worst thing ever. That's what sin is. Sin is this awful thing that will take you so far into the worst. It will take you exactly and the opposite from what God has for you, which is the best. It will take you to the worst. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can you, if so, can you say amen? Amen? All of this I've said about sin here is because of this. Forgiveness is the best thing ever. When we talk about forgiveness being the best thing ever, we are rejoicing because God forgives sin. God forgives sin. All the sin that's shameful, all the sin that you're worried about, all the sin you didn't understand God and you just went on and did your own thing anyway, and He forgives it. Yeah. We have all sinned, so we all need forgiveness. God is faithful to forgive anyone who asks. Did you know this? There are way too many people in the world that don't understand this. God will forgive anyone that asks. If you are a Republican or a Democrat, God will forgive you. Yeah. God will forgive you. Libertarian Party, just kidding. All right. God will forgive you no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter the dumb mistakes you've made, He will forgive you. 1 John 1 and 9. This is a verse you got to know. You got to know this. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us most of our sins. What? Forgive us what? The really bad ones. Only the really good ones. Does He forgive all of them? Yes, He will forgive us our sins. It makes no classification, like, well, yeah, He won't forgive this list of sins over here. No, He forgives us all our sins and purifies us from all unrighteousness. God forgives what kind of sin? All. Every one of them. Is there a certain kind of sin that He won't forgive? No, not at all. Is there like a sin that is worse than the others, and if you do that one, look out, you're just out of luck. Sarah talks about, there's this one verse in the Bible about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and we can talk about that some other day, but here's Sarah's upbringing. Sarah, as somebody in the church she was going to growing up, what is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? And the Sunday school teacher said, oh, whatever you do, don't do that one. Don't do that one, because if you do that one, you'll never be forgiven. Never, not ever, not ever. And Sarah goes, oh, that's terrible. How do you do that? So I make sure I never do it. And the Sunday school teacher says, I have no idea. We can get out of control with, like, what is the sin that God will and won't forgive. Can I help you? Here is the sin that God will forgive. God forgives confessed sin. If we confess our sin. If you confess your sin to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If we will confess, don't get hung up on what, oh, I've met way too many people in my life that really love Jesus but cry bitter tears because they think they committed blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. They don't understand this point. They don't understand that God's not, like, controlled them and you stepped across the line and now He's cutting you loose forever. That's not what sin is. That's not what God's commands are. And if we confess, He is faithful and just. The only condition offered is if we confess. Does that sound like the best thing ever? Yeah. Oh, you bet. Does that sound like something that you need in your life, not just today, but tomorrow and a week from Tuesday? Absolutely. You could have every one of your sins forgiven. You just have to sign up and get on the waiting period and 1 month from today. No, you could have all your sins forgiven right now. I'm talking right now, right where you're sitting. You could confess your sin. You say, God, I'm a sinner. I've done this. Please forgive me. I don't want to go that direction. I want what's best that You have to offer. And right there, you don't even have to wait for me to open up an altar and pray with you. God can do it right there. I'm telling you, it is the best thing ever. I want to tell you about two events that are a part of the forgiveness experience. I want, if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we see a lot of firsts. We see the first people that are born again. They're born again for the first time. We see people filled with the Holy Spirit, and it is for the first time. We see the gospel, that is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ preached for the first time. It's in Acts chapter 2. We see all these firsts. We see the first people that are converted into God's church. It is an exciting chapter. What chapter am I talking about? Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 takes place after the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. Everybody, what was the promise of the Father? The Holy Spirit coming into you is the promise of the Father. When the believers were all filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, there was quite a commotion made. It wasn't a quiet situation. It made some noise. A crowd gathered as the Spirit-filled disciples. The Spirit-filled disciples poured out into the street. And a lot of the people said, these people are acting kind of funny. I think these people are drunk. That's what it says. People thought that they were drunk. Acts chapter 2, verse 13. Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11. Who stood up? Peter with the other 11. Well, who are the other 11? The disciples that walked with Jesus, absolutely. Raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. So Peter got up and he spoke under the direction of the Holy Spirit. He preached to the crowd about Jesus. He preached to them about who he was. He preached that Jesus was exactly what the Bible says that he is. All the prophets said that the Messiah would come, and Jesus is that. He said that Jesus is the exact person that did all those miracles, healed all those peoples. He was the chosen one, the Christ, the Messiah, the one that all the prophets told us would come. That's his message right there. All right? Acts 2, verse 36. Therefore, this is how he's ending. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Hold on. That's pretty heavy, right? Wait a second. Jesus is exactly who he said he was. He is exactly the Messiah. He is exactly the hope of all creation. And you ought to know you crucified him. Whoa. Heavy. Heavy stuff. Does that sound like good news? It is not good news. Him coming is great news. But you are the one that crucified him. Uh-oh. We crucified God's only son. I don't think God is going to like us anymore. That's a pretty natural thing to think, right? Right? Some of you would disown me if I accidentally scuffed your car. I mean, this is... No, y'all wouldn't. Y'all are sweet people. Except over there. He would totally do it. No, these people understood they've killed their only source of hope. They were not on cloud nine. They felt like condemned sinners at this point. Verse 37, look at this. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Have you ever been in a situation where you messed up really bad and you're just looking for something you can do? Is there anything I can do? You name it. What is it? What can we do? How can we work this out? That's where they're at here. And they have no clue on how to do it. Do you see this? What can we do? You tell us, because we have no clue. These people crucified the Messiah. They realize at this moment, can you agree? They realize that they had missed the mark. Right? They realized that they had crucified him. They didn't know what they could do or if anything could even be done. They had messed up. They had sinned big time. They asked. They believed the message. Let's start there. They believed the message that Peter gave them concerning Jesus. And then they asked, what can we do? First, can we say hallelujah that there is something you can do? Wouldn't it be terrible if this is where the story ends and Peter goes, nope, sinners, and walks off? No, that's not what happens at all. Huh, y'all aren't welcome here. You wish God loved you. No, that is not what happens at all. Hallelujah that there is something that we can do about our sin. Thank goodness that there is something we can do about all the places in our life where we've fallen short and missed the mark of God's best. I want you to check out Peter's answer to the question, what can we do? You look, because this is a big question with a big answer. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter replied, repent. Everyone said, repent. And be baptized. Everyone said, and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The first thing he tells them to do is what?
Repent.
Repent. Let's talk about it. I want to tell you that repentance is the best thing ever. It's a part of forgiveness. Repent means to change your mind. Change the way you think. Change the decisions you've made. It means to make a new decision. It also means to turn and have a new direction. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. See, repentance is a turning back towards God and away from your wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their what? I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. If they will do this, if they will turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, ask me, confess their sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them. Repentance, it's the best thing ever. The direction you're going in life, can I tell you real quick? The direction you're going in life, you're not doomed to continue down that same path. That's some good news, y'all. The drug addict that's been a drug addict for a decade, he is not doomed to go down that path. He can turn around. He can change his mind. If you've got like anger issues and you just can't get rid of your anger issues, you're just always angry. You're like, just the littlest thing happens, you're like, God, and you start yelling at the people you love the most, and it's starting to scare you about how angry you get. Can I tell you, I've got some good news for you. You don't have to be like that forever. You can change your mind, you can turn around, and you can go a new direction. I'm telling you, repentance, it is the best thing ever. Repentance will save your home. Repentance will save your marriage. Repentance will save your life. Repentance will save you from a whole heap of trouble. If you will repent, anybody know what I'm talking about? I know what I'm talking about. That's the power of repentance. That's the power of forgiveness, that you don't always have to be what you are right now. Right? Peter's talking to people who are what? They're rebellious against God. They rejected Messiah and they crucified Jesus and they applauded it and they were happy about it. But they don't have to be like that. And neither do we. God has a new direction that he can give you. New direction. The people who had messed up so badly asked, what could they do? And Peter said, repent. Go a new direction. But that's not all he said. The second thing he said was to be what?
Baptized.
Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. The word baptize, real simple word, it means to dip into water. Baptizo means to dip into water. Baptism, I want to tell you, it is the best thing ever. I want you to just look at the promise of God on baptism. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into his death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. All right. Najir, you come here, man. Najir says he's going to help me today. I want to just kind of walk through what baptism is today, show you what baptism is. There's nothing to be scared about baptism. I love to baptize people. We got no water here, but we're just going to talk about baptism. Now, you've never been baptized, am I right? Yeah, man, that's something best God has for you. Let's give this guy a hand. So come on up right here. Yeah, man, just come right up here. And you just stand, no water in here. But just come right here and put your feet down on this edge right here. You know what? You have to, you can sit, then you just sit right there. See? Isn't that easy? Look at this portable unit here. So, man, you know what baptism's really all about? It's about believing in Jesus Christ and obeying him. The only people that shouldn't ever be baptized are people that don't believe he's Lord. And if you don't believe he's Lord, why would you ever want to be baptized? Because the Bible says you are baptized into his what?
Death.
Do we like death? No, that doesn't sound... What are you signing me up for? I don't want to die. Death's not cool. Why would you want to be baptized into his death? I'll tell you why. You want to be baptized into the Lord Jesus' death because he's the only dude that doesn't stay dead. You want to be buried with Jesus. Why? Because he's the only guy who doesn't stay buried. They buried him in a tomb, and he didn't stay dead. He didn't stay buried. He raised himself up from the dead.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So when you're baptized into him, you're baptized into the power of resurrection. And just like he gave his life, you're saying, I'm willing to give my life to God and willing to give my life to others. Bury me with you. Did you know that about baptism? It's awesome, isn't it? The Bible also says that when you rise, you walk, you have a new life. The person that is baptized is different from the person that comes up out of the water. It says that you have a new life. The Bible says that you are new creatures in Jesus Christ. Can I tell you real quick? We watched that silly video about scrubbing potatoes with those gloves, right? That just cleans that potato, but that potato is still a potato.
Right.
Right? And all through life, we've tried to fix our lives by just scrubbing our lives cleaner. Like, oh man, I'm going to try to stop smoking. I'm going to try to stop being so angry. I'm going to try to stop procrastinating on my taxes. We got to work on that. All right. We just scrub ourselves clean. But you know what? You might have corrected a few things, but you're still a potato. You got me? You're still what you are. You're just trying to change your act. What God promises you is that you are a new creature. You go down a potato, but you come up a resurrected Najir. I said your name wrong. Najir. You become a brand new creature in Christ, a brand new person. And people say, ha, you're that old potato I used to know. They just don't even know. No, you're born again. You're a child of God, and you got the power of God living in you now. Isn't that awesome? So we want to walk through this here. I want you to take your right hand, put your hand over your nose and pinch it, because I don't want you to get water up your nose when we do this. And all I do is I grab you your hand right here, and I'll just dip you back like this. But here, you can take your nose off for 1 second. Here's what I want you to know is said over you when we're baptized. I'll say something like this. Najir, in accordance to your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and put your nose on there, right there. Cool. Grab this arm too. All right, hold tight. And then I just go all underwater, and I bring you back up. Now, at this point, you're completely wet, right? But that's a new nausea. That's the power of baptism. And you know what ought to happen after you come up? You ought to stand up. And you ought to lift up your hands. And you ought to worship the Lord. Here's what also ought to happen. Redemption Church, you ought to come unglued. Redemption Church, you ought to be really happy. Redemption Church, could we practice that? We just practice that real quick. Could you practice rejoicing that somebody comes to know Jesus?
Hallelujah!
Amen. Amen. And then you come out and you dry off and it's just like that. Now, let me tell you, you might be, oh, that's silly, rejoicing, practicing that. Oh, no, the church needs to practice rejoicing over people coming to know Jesus.
Yeah.
The church should never yawn about somebody repenting. You understand that when someone repents, all of heaven comes unglued.
Yeah.
The church of Jesus Christ shouldn't go, oh, another person repented today. That was a really good sermon. Where are we going to go eat Golden Crown? Okay, let's go. No, you should come unglued. When somebody is baptized, this guy, let me tell you, this guy wasn't baptized today. But this guy, I've known this guy. This guy's been hanging out with Shelton. This guy's been giving his life to Jesus. Am I right? This guy worships at a new level than he's ever worshipped. He trusts God like he's never trusted God before. Am I right? Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Thank you, man. You can be seated. If you've never been baptized, you're missing out on the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I believe so much in baptism. If you have any questions about repentance or any questions about baptism, I want you to come talk to us. We have a Bible study. It's really simple. It's really short and it's really sweet. You'd love it. We'd gladly give that to you. If you have any other questions about baptism or repentance and you're not sure about coming to us, why don't you check out our anonymous text line, 214-856-0550. You can pull out your phone right now, write down that number, and whenever you have a question, you can text that to us. We don't know who it is, but we'll give you our best answer from Scripture. So, repentance gives you a new direction. Nazir, baptism gives you a new life. Have you experienced repentance? God's got it for you today. Have you ever been baptized into his death? Have you ever done that? God's got that for you. When asked in Acts chapter 2, what shall we do? Peter answered, repent and be baptized. You need to do it. It's the best thing ever. Oh, you mean I have to do that? Listen, get the have to out of it. That's like saying, do I have to win $1 million in the lottery? No one would ever say that. But for some reason, when it comes to Christianity and obeying God, for some reason we pull out the, do we have to do that? No, you want to do this. It's the best thing ever. Game show. Let's have a game show. All right. Best thing ever. Your sins, the Bible says, are remitted. It's a fancy word for erased. That's a fancy word for forgotten. That's a fancy word for forgiven. That's a fancy word that means forever. Yeah. Your sins are taken away. Nazir, when you go down in that tub right there, your sins stay there and you come up out of it brand new and clean. Can I tell you one more thing that this is personal. It's my favorite thing about repentance and forgiveness. Here it is. Here it is. When I ask Jesus to forgive my sins, he forgives all of them. But he still remembers every good thing I've ever done. That blows me away. Because I've had a computer once before that had a virus, had something bad. My laptop was definitely Hamartia. It was missing the market big time. It's just messed up. And you know what I had to do? I had to just wipe the whole thing clean. And all of the bad files went away, but guess what? All of my good files went away too, and it's like I had to start all over. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is not that way. That when you confess your sins to him, all the bad stuff goes away. All the malware and all the virus, all the bad things go away. But he still remembers every good thing I've ever done. He remembers all my victories. In fact, they're still celebrated. There's nowhere in his head that he goes, yeah, I'll celebrate him, but I still remember what he did. No, he doesn't even remember that. In fact, there have been times where I felt like I came to God and said, God, forgive me. I'm such a loser. I did these things. And he goes, what are you talking about? No, you asked me to forget those things. I don't remember those things. That's how it is. Every time you come to Jesus and ask him to forgive you, it's the first time you came to him and asked you to forgive him. It's like the best case of amnesia ever. He forgives all of those things. And you always feel like I have to come to him again and confess that. No, it's like the first time, every time. I'm telling you, it's the best thing ever. What God is offering you today is so much better than gloves that clean potatoes. Amen. So much better. Oh, praise God. Let's just shut it down if it's not better than that, right? I want to tell you that he has a new direction for you. He has a new life for you. The question is, are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with less than the best? I want to tell you that God has something best for you today, right? And it's up to you to receive it. You got to have to want it. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. We've worshiped God together. We've received the word of God together. We just did that. And the third thing is that we talk to God. In the next 1 minute, I'm going to open up this front for people to come talk to God. Do you have to come talk to God? No, you don't have to. You could stay exactly where you are, but I want to encourage you and challenge you today. You need to talk to God. You ought to go through some repentance today. You ought to ask God to forgive you of your sins today. You ought to confess to God today. You ought to make up your mind. You know what? I've never been baptized. It's time that I get baptized. When you come down to the front, let me explain to this. No one is going to mess with you down here at all. There's some churches that you never know what's going to happen when you come down front. So let me take all the mystery out of it. If you want somebody to pray with you, you come into the first 2 feet of this altar. And if you come into the first 2 feet, we'll pray with you. But if you don't come into the first 2 feet, no one is going to bother you. We want you to have some time where you talk to God. Come on, let's come to this altar. Let's talk to Him in this place as Sarah begins to play. Father, in your name, thank you for forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, for repentance. Thank you, Jesus, for being baptized. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. And thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you for every person that is in this room. God, I am so thankful for your love. And I'm so thankful, God, that you will forgive us of all of our sins if we will just confess our sins. Lord, let us confess today. Let us turn to you today. Lord, let us go in a new direction and have a new life right now in the name of Jesus. Touch everyone's heart and bring us closer to you right now. In the name of...
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.